We're going to have a baby dedication before we get into message for us all. And I want to share a little bit from the Word, and then the parents can get their children after that. But I'd like to get a Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, in the English, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way they should go. Now, the word train here in the Hebrew means dedicate. We're doing a dedication today. But it means to dedicate them. And I found that was interesting. When you see in the English train, you think like teach. Well, that's a part of it. But dedicating brings a whole greater realm to this. And there are other places, two other places where this word in the Hebrew is used, and that's when the temple that Solomon built was dedicated. And a word used there is actually dedicate. But at that point, that word's used, and here it's used here, dedicate a child the way they should go. Now, when something's dedicated, it's committed to a purpose. There are a lot of times there's words that seem to have empty meanings to us. And this could be one, dedicate. Well, it's just like saying some religious oath or something. But actually, it's to commit to a purpose is a dedication. So when the temple was dedicated, they were committing the full function and ministry of that to the worship of God, to God's purpose. In dedicating the child, we are committing them and committing ourselves as parents and committing, joining with others in that to the purpose of God. And it says, train up a child in the way they should go. And the word way there is a word for journey. It's Hebrew word derek, which means a journey or a path. And one of the ways we understand living on this earth, living our life here, it's as a journey. And there are points along the way, and there's a destination you're heading towards. But it is a spiritual journey. And he's saying here, commit them, dedicate them, commit them to the journey that God has. The words, he should, where it says way he should go in the English, they're not there. The word go is, again, a bad translation. It's the word for speaking or something being spoken. So how this should read, or how it does read in the Hebrew, is dedicate the child. Commit them to the purpose that God has spoken concerning the journey and path for their life. And when they're old, they won't depart from that. With that goes the concept of training, and thus they put it in that English word, the concept of being trained. But it's more than that. There is a commitment to a certain purpose. That's a dedication. Now, some people walk with the Lord in a way that's not fully committed, not fully dedicated. If that's you, then don't wonder why certain promises or blessings don't seem to be manifest in your life. God does desire full commitment, full consecration. Romans 12, 1 and 2 speaks of, to the church there, to present yourself a living sacrifice, which is reasonable. And then also it says about renewing our mind, that we be transformed, not conformed to the world, but transformed to be like Christ by the renewing of our mind, that we can do then the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, there's a transformation needs to happen in our life. But it takes the consecration. So when we gather together, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the basis of what people think of as church. We come and consecrate ourselves in worship, offering ourselves to Him as well as our praises. And it's not just like just singing songs, but offering our heart in praise and adoration and worship to him and consecrating ourselves to his purposes, and then being enabled to do it by renewing our mind or our thinking by the word of God. So we come, we have worship, what we think of as worship service and a hearing of the word so that we can do the will of God. When it comes to a child, there is a commitment to raising a child that's very great. In fact, it's one of the greatest things you'll do. When you become a parent, you understand the reality of that, where it's such a task. It's a task bigger than you. Praise God, we have the Holy Spirit, and then other people who help us in that. You know, there was a saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, there's some truth to that. Now, the responsibility is on the parent. But every parent needs help, and a wise parent will look to God first for that help, wisdom from his word, and then also others who are speaking into that child's life as well and imparting things to them. As we are committed to that child walking out what God's plan is for their life, what that does then is has us commit and set ourselves towards the fulfillment of that. And that's so very, very important. Parenting is not a part-time job. It is a full-time job. It is a full-time work. All your heart, all of your life. It's a great task to be pursued. And as believers, we are not left to ourselves. But again, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the body of Christ sharing in this. This is a revelation that's part of my life, and thus over the years, you know, we have a great emphasis on children's ministry here, as well as having had Christian school, Christian education, and presently again. You see, when you're fully committed to something, you're looking at all you can do to bring it to its fulfillment. Amen. So that's the reason why we would do those various things. You know, as your children are growing a little older, the devil's attack initially is to create doubt. That's what Satan did with Eve. Hath God said? And then also he came at Jesus the same way. If you're the Son of God. If you doubt the authority, then you'll be open to pursue other temptations and lust. So he's going to come at children like that. Now, it would be nice if we were perfect, but none of us are. Jesus alone is perfect. But we can humble ourselves and repent and be cleansed and not have our sins dog us. But when it comes to children and they realize mommy and daddy's not perfect, Satan's going to try to hammer them to make them to doubt everything else you're saying and thus pull them away into other stuff. So it's very important that they have other people in their life speaking the same truth, speaking the same thing as much as possible, be it within a home, within church, and within their school. As much as possible, they're hearing the same truth. And when you make a mistake, I didn't say if, but I said when you do, to be humble before your kids, and thus you teach them humility by your example. All of us need to humble ourselves before the Lord at times in our life. Well, the dedication brings a commitment with us, and thus that begins to determine how we're going to live. Then we have that which we know of God's plan and journey that's spoken. So as a parent, we want to seek the Lord to hear his voice for God's path for our children, whatever that might be. Now, there is a general journey for all believers, but then there are the specifics. And that's incumbent upon the parent to seek the Lord for that and then to work towards bringing that to pass in their life, to contributing in that. Some people, they just want to know that their kids are going to make a lot of money so they can pay for a lot of pleasure. That sounds a little straight and rough. So be it. That's the truth. When we had Christian school and I was a principal of a high school for a time, I saw that in people. There were those who their heart, the primary thing was, I want to know that my young person is going to walk in the ways of God and therefore their life be blessed. And there would be others who their greater concern was that they're going to go to college and make a lot of money. Now, those who wanted to go to college could. They were had available to them what was needed. But what I'm talking about is the greater concern in our life. What good is it to have some degree and make a lot of money and your whole life be destroyed, or to live in depression, or to live suicidal, or whatever else? What good is it all? It's all in vain then. But if we'll walk in what God has for us, there is a joy in that. Some people try to aspire to jobs. It's not in them to do. Years ago, I read a book. It was on like a management type thing. And the guy's name was Tom Peters, and he called it the Peter Principle. And the revelation he had is that businesses would over-promote people beyond what they were competent to do. And then they end up messing up, and they realize, I enjoy my work a whole lot better back over in this job, not into this other thing I'm getting promoted into. Now, that's something each one needs to seek for themselves. But my point is to recognize what's in you, develop that, and regardless of the amount of money you're making, you'll have a joy. I've spoken to many of people that hate their work. They rue the day they even got hired into a certain position because it's not them. It's not them. Now, on the parenting side, application, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what's in that young person or even at a baby's age. And then you're praying relative to that development and working towards them being able to fulfill the plan of God for the life, because when we die, life's short. When we die, we will stand before the Lord. An unbeliever will hear of their punishment. The believer will hear the reward of their labor and receive a crown of life. But that's more what we should be preparing for and working towards. That's what I'm working towards. As I want to stand before the Lord and know I've obeyed Him. I've done His will, His purposes for my life. Okay, well, expect to hear from God, parents, on this. In some cases, you know, you can't make God give you an answer. But in some cases, He might speak even before they're born or when they're born. That happened with our second son, Jesse. I knew the purposes and grace of God in his life when he was born. I didn't tell him that till he began speaking it at about the age of 6. And then I confirmed it. So God showed me this. That's more the exception than the norm. Sometimes it might be some years later. Sometimes maybe it's in the wisdom of God not to tell us because we would start pushing it, mess it up. So in any case, the point is not how soon you hear it. The point is that you're expecting to hear from God, to him to show you what's in that young person and work towards developing that they can fulfill the plan that he has for their life. I'll just add one other scripture. Psalm 127 verse 1 says that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And we need to know we are building on the rock, the revelation of Christ, his wisdom, his principles. If we go off in pride and just, well, bless God, we're going to do it ourselves, and I know what's best, it's going to be a lot in vain, and there'll be a lot more sorrow. There's a lot of sorrow in life, and there's joy to be had. And parenting is no exception to that rule. There's a lot of joys, and there are sorrows. And we have to be able to overcome the sorrows by faith, enjoy the joyful moments, cherish them, celebrate them. But then there are also sorrowful times, and we have to be able to give that to God by faith in prayer, that it not overwhelm us or depress us or discourage us. Just as a marriage has joys and sorrows, anything in life really has joys and sorrows. But for us to minimize the sorrows and magnify the joys, we need to be building the house on the rock. And in our parenting, we are building upon the revelation of Christ, the Word of God, in order that we can see the purposes of God fulfilled. So as we have a dedication today, it's really a parent dedication, but it's a dedication of the child. And to do so corporately in the church is that we are joining our faith together with you.
Yes.
And that's very important. It's to our benefit that others are joined with us, because it's a great undertaking. It's a great task in terms of the magnitude of it. It can be overwhelming at times. When you have more than one child, you quickly realize they're all different. So what you did over here may not be the right thing to do with this one. Now, the principles are the same, but the specifics are not necessarily the same. You know, you might not treat a little boy the same as you would a little girl. You know, girls are tender, boys are tough. Maybe sometimes it's the other way around. I don't know. But you know, you have to see their individuality and have the wisdom of God to minister to them. Praise God. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Have somewhat of a shorter than normal message. Romans 4:16 says, "It's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee," this is speaking of Abraham, "the father of many nations, before him whom he had believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were." Now, Abraham's name was Abram, but it was changed to Abraham, where God's saying every time he speaks his name, father of many nations, because that's what it meant. Father of many nations. God was going to make a covenant with Abraham, through whom the nation of Israel would be raised up, which would be a prophetic witness to the Christ to come. But we see a principle of faith here, that God speaks of the things that he's desiring to bring to pass. He would speak of this work he's going to do, father of many nations. And it says, God who quickens the dead or gives life where there's no life, and calls things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, God first spoke to Abram when he was 75. A nation's going to come from you. Now, 75, someone told me just yesterday that this lady, her brother, passed away. And I said, well, how old was he? Oh, 63. Well, he's a young man. It's all relative. I'll be 63 next month. So that's a young man still in my mind. But anyway, 75, generally speaking, is past childbearing years. So in the natural, there was not a lot of hope, maybe a little bit. So Abram goes forth, and it's 24 years later till Sarah is pregnant with Isaac. 24 years later. But as we read here, the way God remembers it is how he finished and not all the struggles along the way. God's not remembering your life by all the times you fell down, but the fact you reached the destination. We don't have to fear falling. The Lord will pick us up if we call out to him. If you have a fear of failure and a fear of falling, you'll end up never trying to do anything in life. Many people are afraid to obey the Lord and step out by faith because they're afraid they'll fail. In walking with the Lord, you can't fail. The only path of failure is to quit. Everything else is part of your education. Sometimes our education is very expensive. I'm not talking about going to Harvard and Yale, but rather the mistakes that we would make really cost us. The important thing is you don't keep making the same mistake, but that we learn from it. God's remembering you as how you finish, not by the times that you failed. So Abram has this promise from God, and he got in his own ability. He ends up having a child by his servant, and he was just really striving in his own ability. And after 24 years, he's 99, and the hope's gotten really dim. I'm too old. And his wife's saying, she's too old. Her childbearing years are past. She no longer has her menstrual cycle. And there's no way for this to happen. And Abram has the Lord appear to him, and this is in Genesis 17, and he says, I am Almighty God. God gave a revelation of himself, and that revelation brought his faith to the level for a miracle. Sometimes we just need more revelation or a deeper revelation of a truth we know and are studying and are aware of. But many times we need a deeper revelation. And it puts us over the top. You might be working at certain things for a while and something comes that just puts you over the top. What a glorious moment that is. Whatever it would pertain to in life. But many times the Lord, he'll set a hope before us. He'll challenge us to something. And we immediately, this is what people do, we'll set out in our own ability. We're all excited about this thing God's saying. And then we get frustrated. What we have to understand, that's normal in life. We need to draw near to God till we get the revelation we need, which would empower us to do the thing he called us to do. So who against hope believed in hope. In other words, in the natural, there was no hope. But he had a hope because God spoke to him again, I am Almighty God, and that he was going to bring this to pass. Or my power is more than enough. With God, all things are possible. He says, so shall your seed be. Sometimes you don't have a faith problem as much as you let go of your hope. If we let discouragement come in, then we don't release our faith or apply our faith anymore. We have to keep the hope alive and release faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or proof of things not seen. So the hope is in spirit. It's a word from God, what his will is. And by faith, we receive what we need to do that. So verse 19, he says, being not weak in faith. Now, he was weak in faith for 24 years. But the way God remembers it, Abraham went on through and saw what God had for him. So God's not saying he didn't end up weak in faith. He struggled for a while, 24 years to be exact. But he saw it come to pass. You see, time for God's different than time for us. We, and especially in our society today, feel hungry, pull off the road, throw a hamburger out the window, I'm happy. Yeah, that's not how things really work. I mean, in McDonald's world or Wendy's world, yeah, it works that way. But in the things of the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. It's not like on his time schedule. But rather for us, it's to come to that place in faith where we're positioned to receive what he has for us. So he says here, he didn't consider his body, which in the natural was dead concerning childbearing, which is about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, sometimes certain things God speaks to us could be staggering. Like, whoa, no way I can see that. Whether it be something he wants you to do or something he has for you personally, it can be staggering to us. He didn't stagger at it, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, it took 24 years for him to get to that place from when God first spoke to him. That doesn't mean, well, you know, Abram, he wasn't really that great. Took him 24 years. You know what God calls him to us? The father of our faith. He is the example there. So what? It took him a little while. He ended up seeing what God had for him brought to pass. And the evidence of that strength of faith was that he was giving glory to God. Or he was speaking of this being done as though it's done before it was done. That's what it means to call things which be not as though they were. Call things which be not, verse 17, as though they were. Now, we have to understand in that expression, it's not denial. If you have a bill come in the mail from the electric company and they want $200, you don't throw it in a garbage can and say, I'm calling that thing which is as though it's not. You'll find out the electricity will be not pretty soon because you don't pay the bill. It's not denial, but rather to acknowledge the truth of what God has spoken is of greater power and authority than what I see in the natural. So I am going to speak that which God speaks about it. And this is really a secret, so to speak, of a successful Christian life, is that we look at what God says about everything, and we're speaking that and declaring it. And we hold fast in faith until it's done. So here was Abram, not weak in faith, strong faith. Verse 21. Here's my message title. And being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Not partially persuaded. Fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. Now, when it comes to God doing things in our life, to make it simple, and I love this truth, I exercise this for myself many times. There's two things you have to know. God's willing, God's able. God's willing, God's able. When people came to Jesus, they usually had a struggle with one or the other. Sometimes they didn't know if the Lord was willing to heal them, like the leper. Because lepers had rejection complexes. They were cast out of society. They were legally not allowed to come around anyone. If you wanted to give food to a family member who was a leper, you take it out on a hill somewhere on a plate, and after you leave, they could come get it. And they really dealt with rejection because they were rejected. And when that man comes and said, Lord, you know, do you heal me? He took a risk just coming, and Jesus touched him, which they weren't allowed to do. But Jesus knew the power of God in him is going to heal. And he says, I am willing, be healed. I am willing, be healed. So, you know, if you're in a time of great pain, you're not going to be very well suited to read your Bible for 30 minutes or read a book that testifies of healing. You know, you have a lot of pain, you can't think about much except pain. So you have to be able to simplify it down. God's willing, he's able. He's willing, he's able. Lord, in your word, you show me it's your will to heal me. And I believe your power is sufficient or more than enough for my healing. That's the long and short of it. God's willing, God's able. He's willing, he's able. Abram was fully persuaded. You couldn't change his mind for anything 24 years later. That what God promised, he could do it. Even though Abram, in his own body and Sarah in her body, they could not bring forth children. They were beyond that. That ship sailed. Those days were over. There was no hope in the natural. But they had hope in what God said, and they believed God was able to do what he said, so they could mix that faith with the hope or the promise and see it brought to pass. Fully persuaded. We have a lot of promises to us. We need to be fully persuaded. There's a promise to the tither. The windows of heaven be open, pour out blessing you can't contain. If the windows of heaven are open to pour out blessing I can't contain, I don't need any more else than that. In fact, when you're experiencing that, you have to give it away. You can't even house all this blessing. It to send you into giver mode, which is God's desire. Are we fully persuaded that he will fulfill that word? Or do we reason in our mind and say, well, I'll give 5%, not 10%? I'm just using that as an example. You give 5%, you're not fully persuaded. But as we're fully persuaded of what God speaks, then we're easily all in, committed. I remember my son Jesse, this is about 18 at the time, 19, decided he wants to conquer his fears. He had a fear of heights. So what does he do? Being moved by the Holy Ghost, he goes and gets on an airplane to jump out, parachute, or skydive. So they're flying 10,000 feet, and they say, you know, for whatever, $50 extra, we'll go 15,000. Go up 15,000. Here's $50. So he jumps out of the plane, and while he's in the plane, he's not yet committed. But when he jumped out, that's commitment. There's no going back. That's commitment. And you have to be fully persuaded the parachute will open. Either that or really kind of ignorant or not in your right mind. One of the three. Well, he had a ball and another diver videotaped it and they had cool music to it and all that. And he goes up and does it again. He says, hey, Dad, this is really awesome. You need to do this. You do it with me. No, 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 no. I don't have a fear of heights because I have to conquer that. But I don't trust the parachute. And there's somebody who I don't know packing it. How do I put, you know, so for me it was a trust issue. So, and I don't have to prove anything. So I was not willing to make that commitment because I was not fully persuaded, 100%. There's just a little bit of doubt. Maybe it doesn't open. Then you have on top of that, I'm not fully persuaded. I'm not going to like break an ankle or sprain a knee when I hit the ground. You get trained with that. And you learn to do it and all that. But fully persuaded. If I was fully persuaded, the lure of, hey, Dad, this is a pretty awesome experience. You ought to do it with me. I might yield to that. But I'm not fully persuaded to put my complete trust, my life, in a parachute. Abram became fully persuaded. He's all in at this point to where he is praising God as though it's already done. Now, please understand, when God begins speaking some things to us, you're not going to start out fully persuaded. That's why we need to continue the hearing of the word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, or the process of continuing to hear the word of God and hearing unto the completion of it. We hear until it's done. We need to continue to have our faith strengthened until that promise is finished in our life, whether it be something like a healing or miracle, prosperity, or whatever it might be. We continue to hear the word that our faith be strong. And in the process, we come to a place where we're actually in the place to receive this thing done. I want to ask you a question. Are you fully persuaded you'll go to heaven? You know, if you are, you have peace about it. If you're not and you're concerned about it, you'll enter into works. Well, I better do certain things to stay on God's good side. No, it's not by works. It's by grace through faith we're saved. And all the glory goes to God. So, you know, when you have a principle, you can apply it over in every area. Do we fully believe we're going to heaven? Well, if you do, it's because you fully believe the word of God and the promise of God that speaks to that. So therefore, you can just be at rest. Peace with it. And it's the same over with other areas. Do you fully believe that if you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you? Or is there a little bit of doubt? You know, what I did so rotten, if I was God, I wouldn't forgive me. Well, you're not God, praise the Lord. He will do what he said. He will forgive you. But sometimes people aren't fully persuaded God wants to forgive me. So that's like you're trying to work off a debt, pay off a debt. You know, I travel a lot, and like Paul would travel a lot. And you go in an airport, and there's like these jewelry stores and flower shops and all this stuff. And I used to think, who would buy something like that in an airport? And you're paying twice as much as a store. And it dawned on me one day, as the person who went on the business trip and had an affair, and they feel guilty, and they have to make a peace offering for their own soul when they go back home, so they bring the diamond. Now, I'm not saying that's an absolute truth. I say a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but that makes sense to me. That's probably the kind of people they're selling to. I never bought a diamond ring in an airport. I never bought a bouquet of flowers in an airport. I try to buy them before I leave or have them sent or call from, you know, the other side of the world, Royers, and say, I'd like a dozen roses sent to 530 East Frederick Street and be just to be a blessing, just a little surprise. Fully persuaded. Are we fully persuaded we're forgiven? Are we fully persuaded God will provide for us? Are we fully persuaded he'll heal our body? Are we fully persuaded we're going to heaven? That full persuasion is something you can't be moved off of. It doesn't even matter how bad it looks or how impossible the situation. You know what you believe. And you just continue to stand and give praise and glory to God. Amen. Fully persuaded. That's the kind of people we want to be. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Jesus was fully persuaded that as he offered himself for our sin, the Father would keep his word and raise him from the dead. He was fully persuaded he would ascend to the right hand of the Father. He's fully persuaded that he's going to be sent back and take up his people. Hallelujah. He's fully persuaded that Satan will be cast into the pit of hell forever and ever. The Lord's fully persuaded about a lot of things. So as we become more like him, this is sort of like a part of the deal here. You start living more and more fully persuaded. And what happens, Satan has no place to try to bring doubt because we're fully persuaded.